With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. South Dakota's population is up 9%, according to new numbers from the 2020 census. The state is also more racially diverse and urban. SDPB's Ariel Zients has more on the data and trends.
Half of South Dakota's counties lost population in the past 10 years, and half grew. Girald County is in a rural eastern part of the state. It saw the greatest decline. Lincoln County includes part of Sioux Falls and saw the most growth. Girald County lost about 400 residents, a nearly 20% change. Lincoln County gained more than 20,000 residents, a 45% change. Weiwei Jung is the state demographer and a professor at South Dakota State University.
The counties that already are adjacent to Sioux Falls Rapid or the urban centers now state, they are gaining population. And it's the counties that are already had a smaller population and they're still losing populations.
Jung says the state is becoming more diverse.
We are also seeing more Hispanic and also slightly increasing the Black as well as Asian population. Even though the changes in this trend is slower than the national.
62% of the country is white. In South Dakota, it's 81%. South Dakota has the nation's second fastest growing Hispanic population. The population increased from 2.7% in 2010 to 4.4% in 2020. Beadle County has South Dakota's highest percentage of Hispanic and Asian residents, while Minnehaha County has the highest percentage of Black residents. Jung says the growth in diversity is due to immigration, multiracial relationships, and fertility rates. She says privacy changes have impacted the accuracy of census data in less populated areas. So people should be cautious when looking at statistics from rural South Dakota. I'm SDPB's Ariel Zients.
Members with the Oglala Sioux Tribe Ambulance Service are planning a walkout this Friday if their demands for changes are not made by the Oglala Sioux Tribe. The tribe's ambulance service employees released their plan about the walkout on Facebook and have submitted a list to the tribal council on ways to improve working conditions. Employees feel they put their lives and well-being at risk to care for residents across the Pine Ridge Reservation. They have given tribal leaders until midnight Friday as a deadline. The tribe's president, Kevin Killer, responded on Facebook, stating that the tribe's Health and Human Services Committee will continue to meet with the director of the ambulance service and discuss solutions. A baseball team from Sioux Falls is in Pennsylvania this week competing in the Little League World Series. It's the fifth time in history a South Dakota team has qualified for the event. Sioux Falls coach Mike Gorsett says his team is having a blast, but the pandemic has altered the experience.
You know, we're in kind of a dormitory and I kind of look around. We got Ohio next to us and Nebraska next to us and Michigan next to us and Florida is right next to us. Normally, all these kids are running through the rec center together. They're all jumping in the pool together. They're all normally interacting pretty heavily with each other. They don't let us do that this year. We're very much in our own little pod. South Dakota has to stay with South Dakota.
South Dakota plays its first game of the Little League World Series against Louisiana tomorrow at 4 Central, 3 Mountain. The game is on ESPN. The State Department of Health reports 298 new cases of COVID-19 and one new death. The latest fatality brings the state's death toll to 2,057. The death was a man in his 40s from Oglala Lakota County. Active cases are at their highest level since early spring. There are 2,131 active COVID cases in the state and 125 people hospitalized. Of those patients, 20 are on ventilators. 39 of South Dakota's 66 counties report at least one new case. Pennington County has the most new cases with 73. Minnehaha County follows with 44. The pace of vaccinations remains slow. Nearly 61% of South Dakotans 12 and older have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Just over 55% of state residents 12 and older now have the full vaccine series. Those numbers have changed little in recent weeks. The Rapid Area Schools launched its official Lakota Immersion Kindergarten program at Canyon Lake Elementary. SDPB's Richard Tubles has the story.
Students in this program are taught completely in the Lakota language with an emphasis on Lakota culture, heritage, and values. The goal is to grow the program each year. Dr. Valeria Big Eagle is the president of the Title VI Indian Education Parent Advisory Committee. Her son is part of the inaugural class this fall. She says cultural-based education is empowering.
With my child, he can inherently be himself, Indigenous, and he doesn't have to be afraid of who he is and where he comes from. I know that he wasn't really looking forward to school this year. We know that his identity, he had a troubling time even in preschool with that. And last week when we came to help with the classroom and meet the teacher, I said, son, we're going to meet the teacher. Guess what? She's Lakota. And she said, really? Mom, oh my goodness.
Canyon Lake Elementary was chosen because of its proximity to children who perished while at the boarding school.
This plot of this school is on original Rapid City Indian boarding school land, on the original 1,200 acres. And we know that the children that passed away at Rapid City boarding school, they're right here behind us on this hill up here. We know so far there's 50 children up there.
A bill introduced in the South Dakota State Senate to enable the creation of four schools to teach Ocheti Sakumi values was killed in the Senate earlier this year. I'm SDPB's Richard Tubles in Rapid City.
Regents look to state colleges to retool diversity centers. The South Dakota Board of Regents said nothing but mandating curriculum is off the table when it comes to retooling diversity centers at state colleges. The region's general counsel, Nathan Lukes, addressed questions from the legislature's Joint Appropriations Committee. The main goal of the region's initiative is to rethink how the system addresses student success, Lukes told committee members Wednesday. He says the approach will be more holistic, to look at every student as an individual and address the individual needs or challenges of that student. Schools have until the board's October meeting to figure out a plan to implement the Opportunity for All initiative. The South Dakota Democratic Party will pay a $7,200 penalty to the Federal Election Commission to settle a probe into its bookkeeping. The FEC found this month the party engaged in, quote, excessive, prohibited, and other impermissible contributions or transfers, mathematical discrepancies, and a series of other violations during the 2017-2018 election cycle. A federal audit also found the party underreported disbursements to the Democratic National Committee by $2.5 million during the 2015-2016 election cycle. The infractions resulted in a shakeup of leadership after they were discovered in 2019. The party has struggled to gain political power in the state. Home gardens and hobby farms in the state are struggling due to ongoing drought conditions and climate change. That means gardeners need to take unusual measures to preserve their plants. Mary Diebert is a master gardener, a title earned by taking an intensive class from the SDSU Extension. She says consistent high temperatures and low rainfall are damaging plants, but there is something people can do to help.
You need to find a way to shade those gardens. Things are supposed to be full sun, right? Look for a place that's full sun with a vegetable garden. Not anymore. Those plants are needing to be shaded some when it's this intense heat. They shut down.
Diebert says the intense heat can cause misshapen or improperly ripened vegetables. A majority of the state is suffering from severe drought conditions. The Interim Joint Committee on Appropriations met Wednesday. In the moments, Lori Walsh spoke with SDPB's Lee Strubinger, who provided an update on history and civics curriculum standards.
You You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. In just over a month, public hearings will begin on a draft of social studies content standards for South Dakota K through 12 students. The Department of Education released those standards over a week ago with several changes. The department's secretary testified before a legislative committee yesterday. SDPB's Lee Strubinger joins us now from SDPB's Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City to recap the hearing. Hey, Lee, welcome.
Hey, Lori. Good to be here.
Remind us quickly why the state is looking at social studies curriculum right now.
Yeah, so it's part of a routine look at what's called content standards. The state has a working group of experts from across the state revise and rework those standards. And the last time it was done was in 2015. So a group of about 40 educators and historians came together over the course of 8 days and looked at three major things: U.S. history and American government, Native American history and tribal government, and South Dakota history and government. And they looked at those three things and divided them into four main subjects and updated those subjects in, you know, history, civics, geography, and economics.
Help us understand the difference between content standards and actual curriculum.
Yeah, so standards set the minimum of what is taught and what is expected of students to learn at each grade level. You know, teachers can go beyond those standards, and curriculum is more of how those standards are taught. And so those standards are what the Department of Education expects for students when they graduate from a certain grade or move on from a certain grade. You know, for example, one of the draft standards expected of fifth graders in the draft that the Department of Education released was identify the basic structure of government by studying the United States Constitution and explaining why the United States was established as a republic. That's just kind of an example.
Sure. Well, when the Department of Education released its draft standards, they were different from what the working group submitted to the Department of Education. Is that why the Secretary of Education, Tiffany Sanderson, was before a legislative committee yesterday?
Secretary Sanderson was there to provide an update on where the content standards process is now. Sanderson did get up there to say that media reports about the content standards and those changes didn't reflect what actually happened.
Some of the recent narrative that you've heard might make it seem like the department is now proposing or recommending to erase all teaching or learning around Native American history or government, and that's absolutely false.
But Sanderson says the Department of Education did make changes to the work group's recommendation to ensure that schools have the ability to teach about all cultures that make up the fabric of South Dakota, including Ocheti Chicoan people. And real quick, Ocheti Chicoan is a term that is used to recognize tribal communities within South Dakota. And Sanderson says the proposed changes are more inclusive than the ones that were in place in 2015.
Examples of additional ways that schools could address cultural teaching include our Karen population and the culture of our Hispanic students, our Somali students, and our Czech students, just as examples. Of course, there are many, many cultures that make up the South Dakota demographics.
So, you know, theoretically, you know, teachers can go beyond what the content standards say, but if you do a quick search of the standards that the Department of Education released, there isn't anything in there about the Karen population or Hispanic or Somali or Czech students.
So give us an example of two content standards side by side that are different than about how the Department of Education would be different from the proposed standard.
Yeah, so let's take fourth graders' state history, for example. The Department of Education's draft says, describe the influences of various cultures on South Dakota communities. What the working group draft content standards used to say was explain how the Ocheti Chicoan and Oyate culture and other groups were affected by westward expansion, the creation of the reservation system, and the U.S. assimilation policies and programs. So that was one example of a change that took place by the Department of Education. Paul Harnes is a retired teacher from Yankton who served as a high school world history lead during the content standards review. He says the working group's draft of content standards allow for teaching of all cultures that make up South Dakota, but he says what the Department of Education revisions did was shortchange what Native Americans experienced.
because it specifically talked about what happened with the Western expansion and to the Native Americans and other groups. It's not just the Native Americans. And I think one of the examples I remember which was being used was the expansion of the Germans, the Danes, and all those coming in, and that type of thing. But there was a greater effect upon the Native cultures.
Harnes and some others who were involved on the content standards update are also upset about a preface that was added to that the Department of Education added to the content standards. And he's since asked the Department of Education to remove his name from the draft, which they have.
Was Secretary Sanderson asked about why the Department of Ed made those changes and who suggested them?
No, but I do have a request for those questions out to the Department of Education.
Sure.
And that's something that Harnes and others would like to know. When the changes were first brought to light, the Department of Education said in a written statement that they made certain adjustments before the release of the draft to provide greater clarity and focus for educators and the public. The draft standards provide a balanced, age-appropriate approach to understanding our nation's history, government, economy, and geography, including opportunities to teach about the experiences of all peoples.
All right, so if the Department of Ed says they made changes to provide the balanced understanding of the nation's history, why did the group word the content standards the way they did?
So Harnes says the group was told on the first day of the 8-day summit looking at the content standards that the 2015 social studies curriculum standards were not inclusive enough. And one of the areas it wasn't inclusive enough in was Indigenous tribes in South Dakota. And he says that's the reason why every work group had at least one standard concerning the Ocheti, Chicano, Oyate, and Native Americans.
I mean, they took most of them out of the standards that we created to make it more inclusive. In fact, there is very little that talks about specifically the histories of the Indigenous tribes of South Dakota. In fact, one of the things I know they took out was to identify they were going to have the younger students look at a map of South Dakota and identify the reservations. That's all. And they eliminated that one. I don't understand.
And so that's a geography standard for first graders that was eliminated.
Yeah, we're going to hear from one more person, and this is Cheryl Johnson, Education Director for Sisseton Wahpeton Tribe. And here she is talking about how, as this event progressed, she grew more comfortable being there. Take a listen.
In answering questions and talking about cultural, racial things, identity, and clarifying some of the things that people have just out of ignorance. And so I was in a real safe place to answer questions truthfully for people. And I was really happy about the experience of being able to have history include Native Americans.
A lot more to talk about. We'll leave it there. The conversation is ongoing. Lee Strubinger, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.